Good morning to all and greetings in the name of Jesus. It's good to be gathered here this morning. Certainly it's been a blessing so far and much encouragement. And since today is Mother's Day, we're going to look at that thought a little bit on family. And the title of the message is the song that we sang, "Will a Circle Be Unbroken?" I'd like to just read a couple of verses in Psalm 128. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table." And the thought there that I want in this is the fact of a circle round about the table. The thought of a family circle. And I remember years ago, back when we went to Stylestown to church, I remember Brother Willis Haldeman preached a message on Mother's Day. And we sang that song that, "Will a circle be unbroken?" And the message was finished. And, you know, I don't remember as a young man, or I was a boy then, actually, probably about 10 or 11. I don't remember anything he said, but I remember a deep impression on my mind of the thought of a family circle and the thought that you're here. We have this privilege today as a family around this, a circle, and families gathered in a circle. But you know, there's another day coming when there's a question that still has yet to be answered. Will the circle be unbroken? Will it be complete again? You know, as I think of a family circle, I remember whenever I think John's and us had gotten married, and I think a couple of times we took turns having the family at our place for Christmas. I think they had them over there, and I can't remember if we had them somewhere at our place one time. But I remember finally Mom said, "You know, I want to have the family at my place at Christmas." And I don't know if you remember that or not, but I remember it. And, you know, today I understand why she said that. She wanted, there's something about in a mother's heart that wants to see the family around the table again. And as I think about some of the most precious, something I really enjoy is when the day's work is over and you're around the supper table and the family is around the table. There's a circle there. And, you know, the circle has, there's a lot of thoughts you can think about in a circle. A circle is complete. And, you know, everyone is there. And you don't sit like we do this morning. We sit in a circle. We can see everybody. And anyone can talk and they can be seen. It's a family circle. And I also, I believe that, I don't know, some of you are older than me and can answer this better. But I do think probably some of the best days in family life is when the family's all home. At least it feels that way. You know, I remember also going to family gatherings. I don't know if you do this at your family gatherings, but especially the Martins they all sit in a circle. And you go there, and especially when Grandpa was living, and he was kind of the center of attention, and just the way it was. And, you know, when the day came, that circle was broken. And he was no longer there. They still sit in a circle today. When you go to that gathering, they sit in a circle for a while, anyhow. And I think when we get together at my dad's, there's too many of us, so I think there's a circle in one room and a circle in another. But, you know, you think about it in family life, whether you're gathered around the table, you're in a circle. If you're sitting in the living room, you're in a circle. There's a family circle. And the question is that we like to look at tonight. There's a circle today, but will there be a circle in the future? And I know we could get into a doctrinal question of how much will we be known as families in eternity? And I'm not really going to get into that. But we understand that there's a future, and there's going to be consequences for choices that are made. And you know, it's sad to say, but probably most families, and it depends on how broad you get, there will be some missing. And that's just the way it is. And you know, the Revelation talks about the tears that he will dry from our eyes, or don't say it quite like that. But you know, I think some of those tears will be shed because of missing family members, missing friends that are not there. And so, there's a question that each of us has to answer, is will the family circle that we know be unbroken? And I don't know how many times it's preached this way. But I did a little search on Pilgrim website, and I know that by the title of a message, you can only tell a little bit, so I don't know how complete this is. But thinking about, there's lots of messages on child training. There's many messages on things like that, keeping the heart of your children together. They're there. There's hardly anything on the child's choice in this question. The choice of the youth, the choice of the young adult. And I've picked up three messages that's probably what it's referring to. Now, again, I know that's probably not complete because even the title I used this morning, "Will a Circle Be Unbroken?" Someone looking at that title doesn't know what the content is, okay? Food for thought. But when we get into Proverbs, it says it again and again and again and again, "My son," and we could say, "My daughter, you have a choice in this matter," putting in my own words. You know, as I look at people growing up, there's a couple times, I believe, maybe three, that there are foundational choices in life that we have to make. And one is, I think, when a youngster grows up and they come to the age of accountability, they come to youth years. And in those years, there's foundational choices made of, what am I going to do with my life? Am I going to become a Christian or am I not? When I face friends and peer pressure, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do with these decisions? And I think there's another time that we face foundational decisions in life, and that's when we leave home and we get married. And as I watch people, you know, there's youth, you know it. There are things that you don't even bring up in your home. You don't even ask if you can do this because it's not an option. You know that before you ask the question, right? There's things you think about, you could name them, but I'm not even going to ask because I know the answer. Guess what? When you leave home, you get married, or however it happens for you, it's now your choice. You have the option, and what are you going to do? You know, and I think, and I feel it in my own life, whenever your children get older, you know, things you believed in strongly. It seems like we go through these cycles in life, and I'm just rambling right now. But it seems like I see young couples go through these cycles. You know, they get married, and then they start getting maybe more serious with life than they were, and they get really high ideals, and I think that's great. And then, you know, you get thrown into the years of raising youth, and you're challenged again. Am I going to stand for what I believe, or am I not? Those challenges are real. And so I think there's another, maybe even older times in life where we tested where we're going to stand in life. And you know, I think this morning, the message is what I believe probably mostly geared to children, it is geared to youth, it is geared to, if you're here in your 20s, it could certainly apply if in your 30s or 40s. It's just maybe a little bit different because there comes a point where your accountability is to God and not your parents. But, you know, as youth and young adults, you really do have a choice whether you're going to honor your parents, honor your mother, or whether you're not. Proverbs 14, verse 1, it says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." You know, one of the reasons that family is very important to mom, one of the reasons that her heart is there, is because there's been many hours spent building the house, building this family, training children, and all those years. You see, there's been so much invested, so much energy. Their life has been poured into it. And so this question, this thought of a family circle, it's very close to a mother's heart. You know, the thought of family being home around the table is something that, it's a beautiful picture of what family is to be like. Just a few verses in Proverbs, and thinking of, as children, as you think about youth, you think about where you're going to head with life. Proverbs says this, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Proverbs 17:25, "A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him." Proverbs 19:26, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." Proverbs 5, 15, 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Genesis 16, 34 and 35. I won't read them, but the story there is for Isaac and Rebekah, where Esau went out and he chose himself wicked wives. And it says that it was a grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Children, young people, young Mary, young adults, your choices really do affect your parents. Your parents care about the choices you make. Your mother cares about the choices. She cares about the question, will the family circle be unbroken? And so this morning I'd like to look at Proverbs a lot. Actually, I think almost all the messages in Proverbs. There's so much in Proverbs, I just can't read it all this morning. Turn with me to, we'll start in Proverbs chapter 1. I'd like to first of all look at the law of thy mother. The law of thy mother. Now, I want to ask you all, does your mother have a law? Do you know when Proverbs says the law of your mother, can you connect with that? Well, I think you probably can. I suppose I know that women are different, and I know probably my children think that my mother is a little more laid back right now. But when she was in her 30s and she was in the middle of raising family, I wouldn't consider her a laid-back woman. She knew how to instruct. She knew how to punish. She knew how to set the law down. She was a hard worker, the law of thy mother. And you would ask me, and I would know that Mom knew how to keep order. She knew how to keep things straight. And this thought, the law of thy mother, is in Proverbs a couple different times. We're going to read them. Nowhere does Proverbs specifically say, this is the law of your mother. And there's a sense where this morning, I think, it's just something that is understood. However, I think there is instruction after it says that. We're going to look at it a little bit and tie it together. The law of thy mother, start reading Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up, alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find our precious substance, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood, and they lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. We'll stop there. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, my daughter, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattering of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Proverbs 23. Here it doesn't say the law of thy mother quite specifically, but it is still referred to here. The mother's heart and desire. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. I'm going to stop there. This morning I sent my mother a text, and I said, Happy Mother's Day. If you're available later this afternoon, I'll give you a call. And she said, Sure, I'm here at Mother's today, and I can't help but admire because my grandma is 85 or 86, and my mom has spent countless hours at her place caring for her. And today, that is where she's at, and she is there caring for her aged mother. And I couldn't help but remember this verse, "Despise not thy mother when she is old." You know, I can remember, I called her Grandma Martin. I remember in her younger years, scurrying around the kitchen, making stuff happen. I mean, just, she was the kind of woman, no grass grew under her feet. And yet there she is today. She's old, and someone needs to stay with her. It's not safe for her to be by herself. Despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice in... And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. The father, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow ditch. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. We'll stop there. What is the law of mothers? Turn back to Proverbs chapter 1. I just have 4 points that I would like to try to summarize. And some of the teaching in Proverbs, there's so many verses in Proverbs we can't begin to go to them all. Letter A is be careful who your friends are. Be careful who your friends are. It says there in verse 11 or verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, be careful who your friends are. You know, the desire to come with us, an enticement to sin. And if a stranger comes up to you and tries to bring you into sin, entice you to do something wrong, it's not a real big temptation. But you know what? If you're in a group of friends and your friends want you to do something wrong, your friends want to entice you, and maybe you're a person who don't have many friends, that's a whole different temptation. It's a whole different temptation. Be careful who your friends are. Just last night, our family was talking, and one of our children said something about something they were invited to do and that they might like to do. And my wife spoke up and said, I'd be a little concerned about the influence you would be under if you did that. And I went, the law of thy mother. You see, Proverbs is true. You see, and I could go to verses. There's verses in Proverbs that say this. It's just that for the sake of time, I'm not going to. Evil friends want company. Evil men want company for their evil deeds. And it says that they don't sleep unless they've caused someone to fall. You know, friends have a major influence on how we choose to live our lives. And you know, as youth and young adults, you can deny that fact and say, but it ain't that bad. Proverbs says it again and again. Did your other mother ever tell you something like this? Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know what? That's actually in the Bible. That's why she says. That's why it's true. 1 Corinthians 15:13. You know, a mother's concerned that evil influence doesn't in a year or 6 months or 2 months tear down what she took years to build. A mother buildeth her house. She's concerned about that. Be careful who your friends are. You know, be careful who you choose for a marriage partner. I was working with talking with a man. I didn't actually work with him. And Travis went out and did a service call for him. It was at his sister's place, and he was talking about her husband. And he said, well, let's just say it this way. He doesn't have very much energy. And so he was out there working, doing some things for her, and he hit an electric line and blew the logic board in the opener. And anyway, of course, the husband accused him. But the electric line was only that far under the topsoil, and he's like, why is this? Well, you know, it was snowing the day we put it in. Didn't feel like digging it down. You see, I don't know how their marriage is. I'm just saying, be careful who you marry. Be careful who you join hands with, because it will affect your life. It will affect who you become. And you know, I've watched I watch people and they get married. You know, some go one way, some go another way. And who you marry will influence who you become. Proverbs 13, verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And you know, we can't deny that the Bible says over and over again, it says if you have fellowship, if you have friendship with evil people, that is who you will become. It doesn't say it the other way, the way we sometimes wish it would happen more, but it says it the other way. In fact, Ephesians says, Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Why? Because they influence us the wrong way. Be careful who your friends are. Letter B, be careful with your money and don't let money ruin you. We see that as a part of this little concern that is being brought up after it talks about the law of thy father and the law of thy mother. One of the things that evil people want is to have part of your purse. It says that. They say, come. And they say, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. And you know, there are many teachings in Proverbs that I believe that mothers teach. That is the law of mothers. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm not straying from this point, but maybe it will seem that way. Proverbs 3. Now, verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And you say, well, how is giving to the Lord honoring your mother? Now, maybe it's a little bit of a stretch because we do it because we honor God. But let's just continue on with this thought. Proverbs 15:27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Proverbs 6. 1 through 11, right before it talks about the law of thy mother, it says, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler. Provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, again, maybe you're thinking I'm strained, but I'll come back to this point on the thoughts of how you spend your money. And you know, that kind of teaching starts early in life. It starts with concepts that have nothing to do with money. Did you ever have, maybe your mother called you once and said, it's time to get up, and it's school morning. And she comes back 10 minutes later. Are you not up yet? Does that ever happen at your house? You see, what is she teaching? You know, one of the things I remember when I grew up, and I don't remember Mom per se being the one that taught me to get up early. I remember being Dad. And, you know, when I was... We were living in a dairy farm at Shippensburg, and my job was to get out, feed the cows, and Cynthia fed the calves. I don't know what all we did before we went to school. So, you know, you get up, good time, and you went out and did all that work. But, you know, I guess that I had trouble getting out of bed sometimes. I just remember that a few times, Dad had to come back in the second time and get me up. Now, it's a little different. You're just not down there where he calls up. He has to come in from the barn and walk up the steps. And let me tell you, if you heard his steps on the foot on the steps, you already knew it was too late. You knew that you were in for it. And I don't blame him for that. And, you know, as the years went on through, you know, I always got up early to milk cows, and I hated it, vowed I'd never do it. But, you know, come along about age 20, 21, all of a sudden, I was getting married, and I had another job. I started working at David H., and guess what? They started on the job at 6 o'clock. And I've always looked back and just remembered how I switched from, I just got up every morning, just did it, you know? There's a wife to support, there's payments that need made, there's electric bills that need paid, and $9 an hour is what I started at. And there wasn't a whole lot left over. And you know what? When the alarm went off and you had to get up early, you had to get your tail out of bed. Because why? Because there's responsibility, there's bills to pay. There's responsibilities to meet, and I loved it. Called it good life. Do you know where it started? It started back with mom's law, dad's law, whichever one you want to put it. And you know, one of the things that we're fast losing is the connection between the fact that hard work and effort is what put money in this billfold to pay the bills. And you know, we're getting these stimulus checks, and I don't know what you're doing with them. We haven't made a church. We haven't said anything as a church, as leaders. But you know what? That's not good for us. It's not good for us. Maybe that offering should have been twice that. I'm not being accusing. I want us to think about it. And you know, one of the things we must learn is there's a connection between the effort I put forth and the money to pay bills. And I'm just rambling, but I'm trying to make a point as well. 2 weeks or a week or so ago, there was a man delivered from Winchester Equipment, delivered equipment to John's place. We're going to cut the driveway out a little more. And he was, how old was he, John? 70, 65? White hair, okay? The older man, he said, I worked for Valley Protein all my life, I think he said, or 30, however many years it was. He said, I worked 70, 80 hours a week. Now, that's pretty good, okay? That's pretty many hours. And he said, you know what? All my friends, they quit working and they died. He said, I'm still here working. I work 50-some hours a week. Yeah, he just going a good life, you know? And 2 days later, I met a young Mennonite boy, married young Mennonite boy, not here. I tell you, I've been working 50 couple hours a week. It's just ridiculous. And I thought, really? And you know what? I just compared the two age groups. I'm not saying the 70-year-old man was all right. But I'm also saying that, you know, one thing that mother's law needs to teach us is that, you know what? There's a reason she comes out and she says, it's time to get out of bed. There's a reason for that. You see, it teaches you things you need to learn. I would encourage all you young boys, I would actually like to see you do it. Go back there and ask every married man how many hours he has to work to pay the bills. And you do the average. And I can guarantee you a range of where you're going to come. And it's not going to be 35. You see, some of those laws that mom taught, they teach a person how to grow up, how to spend your money. You don't think there's a connection, but there is. Because money shouldn't come handed out. It really shouldn't. It should be earned. Number C, live a pure life. And I see this mentioned twice after mother's law. Let's see, Proverbs 6, it's mentioned. Right after it talks about mother's law, it says one of the reasons, one of the things mother's law does, it keeps you from the evil woman. Lust not after her beauty, neither let her take her with her eyelids. Let her take thee with her eyelids. Proverbs 23, it's there again. After it talks about what the mother that rejoices. And the father says, my son, give me thine heart. And maybe it's the mother that says that. It says, listen, a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow ditch. She also lieth in wait as for prey and increases the transgressors among men. You know, moms care about a pure life. boys, young boys, moms care about that. Young girls, moms care about a pure life. And, you know, I'm just reflecting, and I was in a group of ministry recently. We were talking about moral purity, and I thought we had a very good conversation, very good. We talked about it for a long time, but I couldn't help but think that probably some of the conversations we had, if there had been a group of moms there, that conversation would have lasted about 2 minutes, and they'd had it resolved. I'm not saying one's right and the other's wrong, but I'm just telling you, young men, young ladies, you go talk to your mom about what's right and what's wrong on moral purity. She'll have some pretty straightforward thoughts on that. You know what? Mom cares because this kind of living destroys the family circle. Mom cares because children and wives are sorely wounded by this kind of living. Proverbs 6, verse 33. It says here, a wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Mom cares because it brings dishonor to your reputation. Verse 26, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for their precious life. Mom cares because it will ruin a man financially. Verse 32, whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Mom cares because it will take a person to hell. Proverbs 23:27-28, and I read a couple of those verses. Mom cares because it is an enticement and a ditch. Letter D, go after wisdom. One of mom's laws, back to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. But here we have wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 2, 1 through 11. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Proverbs 4. I don't hardly have time to read all these, but all through Proverbs, it's just, go after wisdom. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding thee. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my sons, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Proverbs 15, verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Proverbs 15, 31. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. I meant verse 31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Number one, if you're going to be a wise person, you must be able to receive instruction. Mom just doesn't talk all day just for the sake of talking. She is giving instruction, she is teaching, she is trying to give wisdom to all these little children growing up. And you know what? It's Deuteronomy 4 says you're just talking about it as you go and as you live, and that's what moms are doing. Probably even more so than dads. I don't know if it should be that way, but you know, they're there at home, they're working with them, and there's always time for instruction, it seems like. There's always instruction happening pretty often. And if you're going to grow up to be a wise person, you must be able to receive instruction. No person knows it all. No person knows everything. Number two, if you're going to be a wise person, you must be able to receive correction and rebuke. And you read Proverbs, and again and again and again and again, and it says, receive instruction, accept rebuke. You know, there's a reason, children. And even though it's not happening, young people, you know this. But there's a reason when you were getting a spanking as a young child, that if you kept dancing around and you didn't repent, mom said, turn around, you're getting another one. That happens, right? Moms do that. Why? Because she wants you to grow up to be able to accept rebuke and a correction. You see, a child disciplined who still continues to throw their weight and is unrepentant, if I can use that term for a child, has not learned to accept correction yet. And you know what? That whole concept follows us through life. You know, and an adult who cannot accept correction is going to have trouble being a man and woman of wisdom. Number three, if you're going to be a wise person, you must go after knowledge. And there's verses that support that. And I suppose there's a balance in that. But you know what? If you're going to continue to be a wise person, you must continue to learn. It doesn't matter if your age is 40. It doesn't matter if your age is 30 or whatever it is. You must continue to learn. Go after knowledge. Learn. Life is all about learning. And lastly, the beauty of mother's law. There's so many verses here that talked about what mother's law, the beauty of mother's law. And Proverbs chapter 1 says this. It says, when it talks about forsaking the law of thy mother, it says, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now, that word ornament of grace, it's a wreath, and so I gather it's a crown. And the chain, gold chains about the neck, this, well, I don't know if it was gold, but when Daniel was made third ruler in the kingdom, they put a gold chain about his neck. And it's simply, to me, it's the picture of a king. And while you may not be a king per se, but if you listen to the law of thy mother, you obey the law of thy mother, you will end up being a king in your realm. If you can understand that saying, you will be respected. You will be a man of honor, a woman of honor in your life. And so it's one of the beauties of mother's law. And Solomon's mother was Bathsheba, and he talks about his mother some. Chapter 3, I was my father's son and tender and beloved in the sight of my mother. And you know, I believe that Solomon's mother had an impact in his life, even though unfortunately he chose to go a different way in his older years. But I don't believe that was her problem, that was his. Chapter 2, verse 9, again we have beauty that is of that. Whenever a person keeps the law of thy mother, then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, and every good path. And it gives you wisdom for what you need. Chapter 4, verses 8 through 13. It says, exalt her and she shall promote thee. It's talking about wisdom. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. The crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in their way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. And it's a beautiful picture of the rewards of obedience. The rewards of listening to what mom has to say, dad has to say. I'm saying mom because it's Mother's Day. I think you understand that. And hopefully there's not a lot of difference between dad's law and mother's law. It's just it's a team effort. You know what? Those who obey mother's law, the scriptures say that your life, so the years of thy life shall be many in verse 10. And also Ephesians talks about That's the first command with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, I know that it doesn't necessarily mean that someone won't be killed in early in life. It doesn't mean that they won't get sick and die early in life. But you know what? There are a lot of things that people who obey dad and mom, people who listen to the things they've been taught to, are spared from. You go out here and you want to become an alcoholic, it's going to hurt your lifespan. You come out here and you want to, you just put them in there, okay? One of the things mothers are always passionate about is safety. Be careful. And, you know, there's wisdom there. There's, you know, you do too many dumb stuff, you might hurt yourself. And I think that's kind of the idea behind it, is that, you know what? Parents, look out for your good. Mothers, look out for your good. And if you obey that, or you listen to them, guess what? You may just have a longer lifespan just because you honored your mother and honored your father and what they asked and wanted from your life. And this is an encouragement, I think, to mothers. Proverbs 6, 20 through 23. You know, some days, I think, probably when you're just instructing and instructing and instructing, sometimes you wonder if you're getting anywhere. Here's a promise for you to claim. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. What a mouthful. You know what that says? Moms, take courage. All those years of putting that stuff in and teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching, it says it's going to stay with them. It says that even though, you know, sometimes you think it's not making any difference, that in the end of the day, it's leading them throughout the day. They're sleeping and it's somehow keeping them. And you know what? The commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And so, moms, take courage. Don't stop putting that instruction in because it is making a difference. And even if they would choose to make another choice in life, I believe that those things stay with them in some way. And you can't get around from the things that mom taught, the mother's law. You know what? And one of the things, I think one of the blessings, you know, if you're here and you're faithful, God bless you, and you want to follow your parents, your parents' direction, your mother's law, if I can put it that way. There's a blessing for that. It says that if you want to honor your mother on Mother's Day, this is a good way to do it. Chapter 23, we read this, 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. You want to make your mother happy, listen to the law of thy mother. Will the family circle be unbroken? Each one of us have a choice. I still have a choice. I still have choices to make in life. If you're here as a child, you have choices to make. You're here as a youth, you have choices to make. You're here as a young adult, you have choices to make. Will the family circle be unbroken? And I know that maybe not everyone has been raised with a godly mother, but most have. And you know, even in many settings where the mother was not what she should have been, she still wants to see her children grow up and be something of good character. You know, it's a good way to honor your mothers, to honor what she has taught and put into your life all those years, those instructions that will continue to guide us through life. Thank you for your good attention. Let us kneel for prayer.